reading and sermon by Pastor Daniel Krieger and guest preachers of the Word. Learn more about Zion Lutheran Church, the Christian faith, subscribing to this program, and joining us in person next Sunday for the entire Divine Worship by visiting zionhiawatha.org. Now God's Word.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in the book of Acts. It's page 1186 in your pew Bibles. And we read Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took hold of him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. Whereas I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, being the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all peoples everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from 1 Peter. It's found on page 1303, and we read 1 Peter 3, beginning at verse 13. "Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey God, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise out of respect for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1154. And we read John 14, beginning at verse 15. Jesus is speaking. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today is based on your epistle lesson, and what a great lesson to have for this particular weekend, talking about baptism. From verse 21 of chapter 3, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is our text. The story has been around for a long time of a train worker. One day he was in a refrigerator car, cleaning it out. And because of somebody's birthday or something like that, they decided to knock off a little bit early. And when someone closed the door on the refrigerator car, they didn't check to see if somebody was in there. He was locked in. He was a healthy, relatively young man with a family. He began to bang on the walls of the refrigerator car doors. But to no avail, the person who had closed the door was in a hurry to get out and was out of earshot. Continued to bang furiously on the doors, but soon realized the yard was empty and there was no one to hear him. He was in a refrigerator car. He knew if he stayed in there all night, he'd probably freeze to death. In somewhat vain hope, every now and again, he'd rise up again to bang on the walls, to yell with all his might. But nobody came. Having a young family, he wanted them to know what had happened to him. And so he began to carve into the wooden floor of the car messages to his family. He described how he was getting colder and colder, how his hands were becoming numb. And though he was a healthy, relatively young man, the next day when workers opened the door, they found him dead. And here's the thing. The car wasn't plugged in. The temperature never fell below 60 degrees. Cause of death? He worried himself to death. Okay, folks, I did research on that story, which has been around for years and years and years. It's probably an urban legend. But it's not necessarily untrue, at least in terms of possibility. This is actually true and demonstrable. Somewhere out in Tibet, there's a bunch of monks, and they have a really weird rite. They go out in the snow on a cold day as some ritual, just wearing, you know, basically a bed sheet outfit. They sit down in the snow on a cold mountain, and they spend the night there. You and I would freeze to death. But they do some Tibetan visualization techniques. They literally see their bodies as being on fire. And it's been proven that they can actually, just by thought, raise their body temperature 8 degrees. Amazing. And while you and I really would die out there, come morning, they simply get up and walk back to their temple, steam rising off of their backs. Because they see themselves as literally on fire. How you see yourself is a powerful thing. It can kill. And it could also say, how does God see you? He sees you through the waters of baptism. And it's not just, if you will, some trickery of the mind, convincing ourselves of something that may not actually be reality. Baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's a fact. When Christ died on the cross, the sins that God was holding against you, He put on Jesus. The payment God required from you, He made Jesus pay. And the life that we had given up because we all sin, He gave back through His resurrection from the dead. And now He sees you in a new way, and He wants you to see yourself that same way. As I love to tell you so often, He sees you as perfect, cleansed. And when we see ourselves the way God sees us, it powerfully changes our life. In our next service, I'm going to have four teenage girls sitting up here getting ready to be confirmed. You know, now that I'm getting up in years, and somebody asked me the day, wouldn't you like to be, and I can't remember what age they said again. But as I think back in my life, there's one age period that I really don't want to go back to. It's that 7th, 8th, 9th grade period where the body was changing so much. At that point in my life, I was so skinny when I turned sideways, most people couldn't see me. I'd look in the mirror and I'd say, "Ah!" I hated what I saw. Now at age 61, if I kind of mess up here in the pulpit, which I do on occasion, it's no big deal. Most of you still love me. I still love you. We know that our sins are covered. We just move on. Boy, that's not the way it is in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. I remember one exam night that I had. It was, I think, my second confirmation examination night. I had the kids all lined up here. There was maybe 12 of them. Asked the first question, asked the second question, got to the third question. The gal started bawling, crocodile tears. Most people don't like public speaking. She cried for about half the examination. I tell all my confirmands from that point forward, there is no crying in confirmation. And that hasn't happened since. But we are so self-conscious. We look at ourselves, we don't always like what we see. And oh, to make one mistake and have somebody see it and point it out, it can crush us. Would that we could see ourselves the way God sees us. To know that not only in our good traits, at least as we define them or the world might define them, but even when we mess up, that God has that covered, and we don't have to fear it and worry about it, because God can even take our mistakes and turn them into something wonderful. Like He did with the Apostle Paul. He had some big ones. He ran around murdering Christians. Not a good thing. And yet after he was converted to Christ, he didn't hide that fact. He used it to point out to other sinners the wonders of the mercy and the love of God. If God could forgive him and make him clean, who can't he forgive and make clean? And it's not just a trick of the imagination. Yeah, our minds are powerful things. But my friends, what God tells us in our baptisms is not a dream. It's not a vision. It's reality. And when we believe in this reality, it can powerfully change our lives. And likewise, though it is what God has done, though it is true, though, if you will, the temperature outside may be just fine, you're not going to die. But you reject it. You fail to believe it. You say to yourself, it just can't be true. It can kill the soul. God grant that throughout our lives, we never forget that we've been baptized and what God has factually, really done to us in that most glorious act. But remember, too, even a lot of people who have been baptized still don't get it. They still don't believe how loved they are, how wonderful they are, how perfect they are because of what Christ has done. And whether they're seventh or eighth graders or 90-year-olds or anyone in between, we need to remind them of the reality that is ours through our baptisms, through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on our behalf. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.
This program is a production of Zion Lutheran Church, Hiawatha, Iowa. Copyright, all rights reserved. Unless otherwise indicated, the scripture reading used in this program is from the Holy Bible, English Standard Version, ESV. Copyright 2001 by Crossway, a publishing ministry of Good News Publishers. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Hymn 556, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, was provided by LutheranTimeOut.org. Learn more about the Christian faith and joining us next Sunday in person by visiting ZionHiawatha.org.